Welcome to the podcast from Gateway Baptist Church. This is a message from our series on the book of 1 Peter where we're challenged to live different. You can connect with us further at gatewaybaptist.com.au.
Good morning, everyone. How are we? It's a great Sunday, the end of our season of prayer and fasting and the last in our Magnify and Multiply series. Great Sunday to be in church, as is every Sunday, right? Why don't we pray as we start? Lord Jesus, we thank you for your presence here with us today. Lord, I thank you for the way that you have been moving amongst our church, the way that you have been speaking to us. Lord, the things that we've seen you do in this season. Lord, we choose this morning to magnify you, to lift you up, to give all honor and glory to you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for your presence here with us. Lord, I pray that even now you would be speaking to us and ministering to us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Is anybody else fascinated by the moon? Anybody fascinated by the moon? I find the moon unbelievably fascinating. I mean, there's this little grey dot up in the sky that we see with the naked eye, but we know that there's so much more to it. It's mysterious, the way it just kind of hangs there. And then, you know, depending on where the Earth is at that particular time of the year and where the sun is on the other side of the Earth, I'm very scientific here, but it'll make the moon look bigger, it'll make it look brighter or redder or yellower. It's fascinating. Anybody else just amazed on those nights where you come out at night and you see the moon is just massive and yellow? It's awe-inspiring. But have you ever looked at the moon through a telescope? Probably one a little bit bigger than this if you want to get a really good look. But who's looked at the moon through a telescope? Even more fascinating. When something that is so big and so yet so distant to the naked eye, when we look at it through a telescope, it brings it into focus. It makes what is out there come so much closer and clearer. And we see the intricate nature and design of the moon. We see the craters on it. It is awe-inspiring to see what is so far away suddenly come so close. See, things look different the more we magnify them. Details that are far too small to appreciate when it's way up there in the sky come into focus and show us something new and amazing when we magnify them. I mean, take a look at this picture of the bee in the flower. Even this picture is amazing in what is captured. The beauty of it, the wonder of a bee hovering over the flower and getting the nectar. But how much more amazing when we focus in, when we zoom in on this picture and see all that pollen speckled all over the bee. This image up close is so much more amazing and the wonder of God's creation. What about this next one when we zoom in close and we look at the intricate detail of this picture, what we can't see to the naked eye when something is zoomed in so close? And yet, I don't think we really need to zoom in on this particular one because we've got enough blue material hanging in our cupboard at home to actually reach to the moon and back. But magnification makes things appear bigger. The image in the telescope narrows our focus and focuses our attention. In the same way, how we see God will determine how in awe of him we are. It'll determine how we worship him. See, when we magnify God, we're not making him bigger. Rather, we're drawing attention to his greatness, to his majesty that's already there. We see him for who he really is. Magnifying God is to see him in his intricate detail, to behold his beauty, his majesty, and then declare that greatness. Magnifying God focuses our attention and it enlarges our thoughts towards him. See, when we have a small image of God, when we minimize the character of God and the capacity of God, then our worship of him will be small and shriveled. In fact, he may seem far away to you, uninterested in any of the details of your life. But when we have a big vision of God, when we magnify him, we have big worship. We can't help it because we see him in all his greatness. Tozer understood this when he said that our image of God is the most important thing about us. Our personal image of God, how we see God, how we understand God, how much we believe he is capable of, our personal image of God will shape everything about our lives. It'll shape how big or how small we see God, and therefore how big or small our worship of him truly is. Our image of God. It's the most important thing about us. What's your image of God right now? Today we're actually going to look at someone who understood the bigness and the greatness of God, and they had the ability to magnify him through some incredibly challenging situations. It's someone we know all about, but we probably haven't even thought about since Christmas, and that is Mary, the mother of Jesus. Did you know that Mary was a songwriter? You know, as a young, pregnant girl, Mary wrote a worship song to magnify God, and it's one that is still sung thousands of years later. You remember the story, the angel comes to visit Mary and tell her that she is the chosen one, chosen to be the mother of the Messiah. And at the same time, Gabriel tells Mary that her cousin Elizabeth is also pregnant and she's going to have a baby. Now, Elizabeth has been unable to have a baby her whole life, and now that she's old and wrinkly, now she's going to have a baby. Now she's fallen pregnant. So Mary weighs up all these things and decides she needs to go and visit Elizabeth. And scripture tells us that as soon as Mary arrives and greets Elizabeth, the baby in her womb, who we know is going to be John the Baptist, the baby in her womb leaps for joy. And Elizabeth in that moment celebrates the incredible honor that God has bestowed on Mary. And Mary's response when she sees all of this unfolding, she sings a song of praise to magnify God. When she sees all that God has done and the miracles that he has performed, she praises him. We're going to read this song together. And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Saviour, for he has regarded the lowly state of his maidservant. For behold, henceforth all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He has put down the mighty from their thrones and exalted the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever. See, Mary knew that God had given her a special place in the story of her people. She knew the scripture. She knew the prophecies. She, along with all her people, had been waiting for the Messiah to come and save them from their enemies and establish his kingdom on the earth. And Mary was the chosen one. What an honor. God chose Mary, and Mary responds in this moment by singing this beautiful song of worship, a song that magnifies God. And that's why it's called the Magnificat. You might have heard of it. But this actually isn't a new song. It's not an original song, I should say. Today we'd call it a cover song, because Mary magnified the Lord, but it wasn't the first time that she'd done that. See, Mary borrowed the words that she already knew from the Psalms that she'd learned, having sung them many times in worship as a young girl growing up in a Jewish household. Mary already knew the words. She just put them together in this moment in a way that expressed her heart full of praise and worship. Mary didn't have access to a Spotify playlist. She didn't have a hymn book to go to. She didn't even have the blue scripture in songbook to go to. Does anybody remember the blue scripture in songbook? Come on, hands held high, proud moment. Who remembers what number one in the scripture, in blue scripture in songbook is? Majesty. Majesty, worship his majesty, all glory, praise and honour. Bit like that anyway. Mary didn't have any of that. That's such a great song that in that moment she could have taken hold of and used to honour and praise God. But Mary didn't have any of that. She didn't even have her own copy of scripture that she could read. But Mary relied on the scripture that she'd memorised to find her words of worship. See, Mary's song of worship reflected her image of God. Mary knew that God was faithful to fulfill his promises. Mary knew that God was holy and merciful and powerful. Mary knew that God was sovereign over countries and their rulers. It was God who lifted rulers up to their thrones and God who brought them down again. Mary knew that God was the supplier of all the blessings that she enjoyed. Mary's song magnified God, made him bigger by expressing out loud the things that she knew about God in her heart. Because out of the heart, the mouth speaks. The words that spring up out of us in worship are the truths that we believe about God. Remember, our image of God is the most important thing about us. For instance, when Jason and I were newly married and fresh in ministry, we struggled financially, and we saw God provide time and time again, sometimes in really practical ways, sometimes in miraculous, mind-boggling ways. But the bottom line is that throughout that season of our life, we learnt to magnify and worship and trust Jehovah Jireh, our great provider. You know, when our daughter Bronte stood in that baptistry after a long season of struggling with anorexia, and she declared that Jesus had rescued her and healed her from that awful disease. You know, that season I learned that God is present with us even when we walk through dark and challenging times. And I learned to worship a God who is not only present in our pain and our suffering, but worship a God who heals. When I was overcome with anxiety and despair, I learned to worship a God who was good and faithful and generous, even when it felt hard for me to hold on to him. He never let me down. See, words of worship bubble up out of a fresh understanding of who God is when we encounter his character. What words of worship are bubbling up in your heart right now? What scriptures have you memorized like Mary did? What songs do you know? What experience do you have of God that has shown you who he is and what he does? We don't always have to have original words to sing or to pray. We just need to have a repertoire that we can draw on, a playlist that we can put on. We need to have learned the words so that when the time comes, we have a song to sing. I want to challenge you, and this is a challenge for myself as well. Whether you've been a scripture memorizer before or not, commit to learning a new scripture a week or maybe a month if that seems too hard. But there's even apps that you can download on your phone these days that will help you to learn scripture off by heart. But by doing so, you'll be training and equipping yourself to focus your attention on him and enlarge your vision of who he is. Learn some new scriptures. Magnifying God focuses our attention on him. And magnifying God blocks out unhelpful distractions. You know, I love that God sent Mary an angel to give her a heads up about what was going to happen to her. And this conversation changed the trajectory of Mary's life. From that moment on, everything about her life changed. You know, as a young girl, Mary probably had a bit of a plan of what she thought her life was going to look like. She was betrothed to be married. She expected to spend her life fulfilling her role as a wife and as a mother, like all the other women in her community. But this visit from the angel changed everything. Mary's plan for her life was thrown upside down. This was a really hard thing that God was asking Mary to do, and she had no idea how it would turn out. Here she was unwed, she was pregnant, she came from a poor family in a small town. She might have been divorced, ostracized, even stoned to death in that day and age. She would definitely face gossip and judgment. And maybe this son of hers, if he did grow up to be king, would come under threat from other kings, other insecure kings. Mary had a lot going on in this moment. There's a lot to process. There was a lot of questions, a lot of uncertainty. There was a lot of things that Mary could have focused on that would ultimately lead to anxiety and worry and fear. I wonder, do you ever wish that God would send you an angel? Would you like God to show up and give you some clarity about your call or about your future? Do you wish that you knew exactly how things were going to go as you followed what God was calling you to do, and you knew exactly how everything would turn out? Susan, I just want you to do A, B, and C, and we're going to end up at Z. I tell you, we think in some small part of our brain that we want to know how this picture will end. We think that we want the full picture before we take a risk and say yes to what we believe God is calling us to do. We think we want to know if it's all going to be okay. But I tell you, if God had told me as a timid, insecure 16-year-old that today I'd be standing in front of all of you and talking, or that I would be mentoring and supervising pastors and leaders from different denominations across this nation, or that I would be pastoring this church alongside my husband, let alone having two weddings in our family only 4 months apart this year alone, if I had have known all of that, I reckon I would have chickened out years ago. I'm not sure I would have even started, but I'm so glad I didn't know where this journey would end. And I'm so glad I still don't know where this journey would end, because I probably wouldn't be here right now. I just needed to keep saying the next yes that God was putting in front of me. Keep being obedient to the next yes and the next yes, and not focus on the end of the journey. See, when the angel came to Mary, she would have had an inkling in this moment that her life was just being turned upside down. She would have known that life was going to look different to the way she'd thought or planned it was going to look. And there's so much of the bigger picture and questions that she could have worried about, that she could have focused on and allowed to overwhelm her. And yet, she just focuses on the next yes in her response to the angel and says, "I am the Lord's servant. May your word to me be fulfilled." I admire her courage and obedience, especially because we do know the end of the story and all the challenges that Mary faced being the mother of Jesus. But I love this moment and her heart of worship, her response of worship to God, even when she didn't understand. Mary's life wasn't easy. This special assignment that God had given her was hard. There was going to be pain and lots of grief, and yet she understood the special place that God had given her in his story, and she boldly said yes. Rather than get overwhelmed by all the unknowns and focusing on how difficult her life was going to become, she actually made God bigger and bigger. She focused her attention on him. She concentrated on all the characteristics that she knew to be true about God, and she let that be the picture in her mind and the song in her heart. Mary delighted in the special honor that God had placed on her, and she focused on the blessing rather than the unknown and the difficult. It is so easy, isn't it, to get distracted in our world today. Even just sitting in front of my computer, there are so many distractions that come. There's email notifications that constantly pop up along the bottom corner of my screen. There is appointment reminders that keep dinging at me, usually because I'm late or I've forgotten to delete them. I get text messages constantly from my kids through the day. I get FaceTime calls from my grandkids just because they miss Granny. And those ones I have to answer no matter where I am or what I'm doing, because they're special. And then I get text messages from Jason asking me if he's got another blue shirt ironed. There is always a lot going on for all of us. Did you know that there is a focus mode on your computer? Who knows that there's a focus mode on your computer? I'm teaching some of you something new this morning. This is awesome. You can actually go into this special mode. Just type in and search it. You'll find it. But it makes the whole of your screen go grey except for the page that you're working on. And it actually stops all of the notifications from coming while you are in focus mode. Mind blown. Honestly. I've got to get better at using it because I'm so much more productive when I'm working in focus mode. When we magnify God, we focus our attention on him. We make him the biggest thing in our field of vision. And in doing so, we actually turn down all the other things that try and distract us and throw our life off balance. The things that try and distract us from the call and the purposes that God has for us. When you feel the weight of challenges, when everything feels too overwhelming, Take these scriptures that you've been memorizing. Take the songs that you know and use those words to make God bigger and bigger and block out all the voices of worry and uncertainty that are trying to knock you off balance. What are the unhelpful distractions that even as I say that, you're starting to think about the things that you know that you need to block out? I know for some of you that you've used this time of prayer and fasting to block out some of the more obvious distractions in your life, maybe social media or TV or even food, all fueled by a deeper desire to focus the attention of your heart and your prayers on God. You know, as Tim was sharing earlier, there's been some great stories that have come through from this season. And for me, I have, as I've been praying and fasting for the last 3 weeks, I have felt an overwhelming sense of God's presence and His peace for me in my life. I don't know the steps that He's calling me to, but I'm in this space of going, actually, God, I'm okay with that. I don't know where it's heading. At the beginning of this season of prayer and fasting, Tim asked us to write down what our big prayer was. And in that moment, God dropped a name of a person on my heart that I haven't seen or really thought about for a few years. It was a really random thought. And I went, okay, I'm trusting God that that's you. So I wrote that name down and I have been praying for this person as I have fasted. And 2 weeks into the fast, God has opened a very random, very miraculous door for me to step into this person's life in a way that I did not see coming. And I am so excited about that. Again, I don't know where the story's heading. And I'm going to continue to pray and fast as I watch this unfold, as I allow God to lead me in that situation. But I really want to encourage you, if you have found this season to be helpful in focusing your attention and your prayers more on God, don't limit your fasting to just this 3-week season. Fasting is actually a spiritual discipline, a spiritual practice that God asks us to do regularly because He knows how good it is for us spiritually and emotionally and physically and relationally. Get rid of the distractions and focus on God as you pray. Magnifying God focuses our attention on Him, helps to block out unhelpful distractions, and magnifying God multiplies His fame. We actually multiply God's fame when we declare His praises. Mary sang her song, not just over her own life, but over her baby as it was growing within her womb. And as this son grew up in every way human like us, and yet in every way God, Jesus sung His mum's song throughout His whole ministry. Jesus embodies His mum's song as He obeyed His Father in heaven. Jesus sung His mum's song as He lifted up the lonely, the brokenhearted, those who thought they were outside God's favour. Jesus spoke loving kindness, His favour, His grace as He lifted up the humble. And He filled the hungry with good things, those that were physically hungry. He provided food. Those who were spiritually hungry, like sheep without a shepherd, He ministered to them. He taught them about the kingdom of God. Jesus grew up to fulfill the song that Mary had sung over Him even before He was born. And it's like Jesus lived His life going, look at me, Mum, I'm singing your song. I want to speak to those of you in the room who have children around you or maybe hope to one day, whether your parents, grandparents, aunties, uncles, spiritual mothers or fathers, we actually get the privilege to sing and declare the praises of God over our lives, over the lives of our families, over our children, that one day when they're facing their own difficult times, or one day when they're stepping into their calling and their purpose, they'll understand that their purpose too is to lift up the lowly, to fill the hungry with good things. And they'll be singing their mother's song or their father's song by the way that they live their lives. And the songs that we sing influence those in our world who need to experience the power, the mercy, and the faithfulness of God in their own lives. We'll sing the songs of heaven by the way we live our lives. And as we magnify the Lord together, the whole of our lives will help people see God's glory. In a world full of so much uncertainty and hopelessness, we need the glory of God to shine more than ever before. Our kids are facing a mental health crisis like no generation has before. The cost of living crisis is putting so much pressure on families who are struggling to make ends meet or make difficult decisions just to carry on each day. As God's people, we have such an important role in declaring the praises of God over our lives, over our families, over our children, over this church, over this city, over this nation. Because we know the God who continues to fill the hungry with good things and to lift up the lowly. We know the God who still heals today, who can lift that weight of anxiety and fear and depression from people, who can bring certainty and clarity to the unknown and the chaos. I want to challenge you. Write a song to sing over your family. Or maybe just make one up on the fly. I do that a little bit. But you know, the other day after, I finished writing this message, I was playing with my grandkids in the park, and my four-year-old granddaughter, as we walked through the car park, took hold of my hand and she started to sing over me. She started to sing a random song, just going, "Granny, I love you. I love holding your hand." And something in me welled up as I thought about how Jesus sings over us, how he calls us to sing over people. So I started to sing a song over her. I won't keep going in and off tune, but "Ray Ray, I love your smile. You make my heart so happy. You bring so much joy." The songs that we sing over our children, over our families, over this church are powerful. Now, if your heart is palpitating right now just at the thought of writing a song, let alone singing something out loud, write a prayer to speak over your family. Or choose a song that you already know the words of that speaks to your family in your current situation and just play it on repeat until your image of God's power and his majesty is magnified over your family, over your situation at this time. You know, when the song "The Goodness of God" came on, I had that on repeat ad nauseum in my car. Probably would have annoyed anybody else, but I cried my way through it every time, because what it did for me was well up this heart of gratitude when I thought about Bronte being healed and standing in that baptistry. God's goodness and his faithfulness all the days of our lives. And it's a song that I keep going back to, that I keep pressing play on, because there's something of the praise that wells up in my heart that helps me to magnify God as I see his goodness and his faithfulness. And my heart is full of gratitude over all that he's done. The songs that we sing hold power to magnify God and who he is. When we magnify the Lord in worship, we multiply his name and we make his name famous. 1 Peter 2 verse 9. This is a great one to learn if you don't know it already. It says, "You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession. Turn to the person next to you and tell them, you are God's special possession. Come on, if you're online, say it with me and say it like you mean it, guys. You are God's special possession. Why? That you may declare the praises of Him who has called you out of darkness and into His wonderful light. Mary turned to God in worship when her whole world turned upside down because she recognized that God had a special place for her. She was blessed. She was honored. She was the mother of the Messiah. When our lives are turned upside down, we too have a choice to make. We can be overwhelmed, or we can stand in the truth of Scripture and declare that we are called. We are blessed. We hold a place of honor in the kingdom of God. Come on, start to focus your attention on Him right now. We are a chosen people. You are a chosen people. God chose you. You're a royal priesthood, holy people, God's special possession, so that your life may declare the praises of Him who has called you out of darkness into His wonderful light. We have a reason to praise, people. We have a reason to magnify God, because the God of mercy and power that Mary wrote her Magnificat about 2,000 years ago is the same God who is for us, who is with us, and who day after day pours out His abundant blessings over us. God's fame in this world is multiplied when we magnify His name. When we pour out His praise for how good He is worthy of all our praise, all honor, and all glory. And we're going to spend a bit of time right now lifting up the name of Jesus and praising Him. Why don't you stand with me? Whether you're in the room or online, I want to encourage you, just close your eyes right now. Lift God up over all things. Start to speak out loud the characteristics of God that you know. Come on, as a church family, let's declare our praise of Him together. God, you are good. You are faithful. You are Jehovah Jireh. You are a God who still heals today. Lord, you deserve all the glory, all the honor, all the praise that is due your name. We look to you, you who holds us in the palm your hand. We magnify you together today, Lord Jesus. Come on, let's magnify Him together in worship.
Together. And all my soul. If that's all you have this morning, if hallelujah is all you have this morning, would you lift that up to His name? Because that's enough. If you're on the highest of heights, or maybe if you're feeling at the low, that's okay. Bring everything you have before Him this morning and worship Him and magnify His name, for He is worthy and He is holy and Lord of Lords. Let's worship. Let's keep worshiping together. 1,000 generations falling down in worship to sing the song of ages to the Lamb. And all who've gone before us and all who will believe will sing the song of ages to the Lamb. His name. Your name is the highest. Your name is the greatest. Your name stands above them all. All thrones and dominions, all powers and positions. Your name stands above them all. And the angels cry,
cries, holy, you are living.
today. We magnify your name. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. We are in awe of you, Jesus. We are in awe. Lord, would you help us to be able to move aside the things that distract us from keeping our focus on you, of making you bigger, of magnifying your name in our lives. Lord, we want to shine your light. We want to make your name famous by the way that we live our lives, lives that glorify you. We want to make your name famous in our families, the songs that we sing over our families, in this church, Lord, in this city, in this nation. We want to make you bigger, declare your glory and your praise, Lord, that others might know the God who saves, the God who came so miraculously into this world to lift up the lowly, to heal the sick, to mend the brokenhearted, and to point us to the kingdom of God. But we honor you today. We give you all the praise and the glory and the worship that is due your name. We are in awe of you. Holy, holy, holy to he who was and is and ever. Jesus. Amen. Thank you for joining us today, and thank you, team, for that really special time of worship. I want to encourage you to come back tonight. It's going to be a great service as we finish off this season of prayer and fasting. And don't forget to go and get some lunch from our Beyond team, and have a great week. Bless you.